Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron. Tonight, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts, and also a special guest tonight, Jeremy Spieth.
Hello.
Say that right? Am I lucky to say that right?
Nailed it.
All right. We'd like to start this episode off like all episodes by thanking our sponsors. I'll take the time to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com, you can save 10% on your burrs by using code WH and get all your carving, all your power carving needs covered. I use them. I stand behind them. You should too.
And I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply. You can find him maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca. Looks like he's just currently restocked on some belts. The VSM belts that he carries, showing what are they, 687 US each. So they're actually a fairly reasonable price belt. So
that's good.
And also to mention, he is a sponsor of the Great Lakes knife show, and that will be Goderich. We keep saying it wrong. It's Goderich, Ontario. And that's on August 19th, if you can get yourself there.
That sounds like it should be a good time.
Yeah.
For the knife heads, anyway.
Yes. So what's going on, Jeremy?
Nothing much. I just returned from a big day with Vincent Ferrari. You know him well. I'm sure everybody who listens to this does. And
if you don't, go check him out. Handmade by Vincent Ferrari.
Who's this guy?
Digitally creative podcast.
He's a creative
guy. Oh, right.
Digitally.
Digitally. How was that?
And I'm sure if you follow him on Instagram, you've seen that he had a shop space that he suddenly lost due to the sale of the building. And so he needed to get out of there. I mean, he's still working on it, but he needed to get out of there. I think he got like less than a week's notice. And, you know, he's got a full shop full of stuff. And so unfortunately I am kind of between jobs right now due to a strike. So I had the day and I said, you know, I got a pickup truck, can I help you? And so we took his Shapeoko CNC tweaky and a bandsaw up to Al at New York Woodworks place up in, I think it's Germantown. So
Sounds right. Like
a 2-hour drive away. So we got lucky, real lucky with the rain, because we put it in the pickup and we kind of loaded it up so it wasn't closed. I do have a cover, but we loaded it all the way up. And basically, right as we brought it in the basement, it just started raining. So it was nice. I got to meet Al, got to have a nice, non-recorded podcast to sort of with Vincent. I had about, 4 hours in the car with him. So we got to know each other a little better and talk about, life and everything in between. And so now it was not a great situation, but I think it was a nice little way.
What's
to spend
crazy
the day.
Is I didn't realize that place sold, but that's like the third person in the past 2 months I know that has happened to.
Yeah,
luckily. And I mean, I don't mean to downplay his shop, but he's got the smallest shop of the other two that I know of that it happened to.
Yeah, so. You see some of these. I mean, I look at my shop and I'm like, this would take me months. You know, if you didn't have any kind of a, it took me years to fill up. I can't imagine.
Yeah, same with me. I don't know. Although most of my stuff's already in boxes, so it wouldn't be too bad. But it would still be a shock to the system if
I mine's in a basement. So
in a week,
Yeah.
I didn't realize that the timetable was that short for him.
Yeah, I think nobody knew, and then it just kind of, it seems like whoever bought the building wants to get in quick, and so they were just kind of, it's a big commercial building. They thought it would take a while to sell. He knew it was coming eventually, but it seemed like it was down the road, and then someone swooped in and lit the fire.
Unreal.
Yeah. But yeah, so, I've met Vincent a couple times, but it was nice to, like, really spend some quality time.
Yeah, I've only ever met him once. And it was all, like, in person.
Maker Camp?
It was a whole...
Have you been?
Yeah, whole... I don't know. What is this Maker Camp you speak of? Fill me in.
Are you guys planning to go?
Fun.
That's a dig. That's a dig.
Tell me you don't listen to the podcast. So that's all.
I was dying.
Did you see me throw that out there a few times?
That was great.
Yeah.
That was a great show, though. That episode was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan. So you got him all moved? Is he completely out then?
No. He's got a, like a truck worth of stuff still, but these couple things were going to Al's place. The rest of it's going somewhere else. So this was like a special, sensitive item trip kind of thing.
And you guys got it in. I don't know if you've been watching the news, Tony, but the rain in New York is absurd today.
Yeah.
What, 7 inches in 3 hours, I think?
Yeah, it was insane.
Vermont.
I think I dodged a little bit. Sorry, just talking over you.
That's all right.
I dodged a little bit. We definitely got some heavy rain, but it was kind of quick and over with. Like we have a puddle in our driveway that forms. That's our gauge for how heavy it rained. You know, and it was like 20 minutes in. I'm like, oh, it's really coming down. It looks like Chris Zepp prepared properly, and he didn't really have any. He had a lot of prep stories, but no drowning stories. So it looks like he did okay.
You're out on the island, right?
Yeah. So I'm like 10 minutes from him.
Is it bad by you guys or no?
As far as like, no, I mean, not here. It's, you know, we didn't get any right here, at least any like flooding or anything like that. I know there was some like serious places like landslides and stuff on the Palisades or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard Vermont.
So we just got rain. Like, that's it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Not to make this a weather
podcast,
but that was some serious weather today.
Old men talking about the weather.
Yeah.
Well, and it was nice hot here today.
It was hot today.
Yes. Humid, it was quite warm here as well.
What's warm to you guys up there?
I want it in Kelvin.
Yeah. It was it was 25 degrees. Let me convert it over here for like 90%
for the scientists.
For the scientists. The only country in the world that uses it. It's about 77. But I guess warm for us is, yeah, it's sad to say, but warm for us is like 86. But our humidity is always high, so it's always like just sweat doesn't go anywhere, so it doesn't cool you. You don't get cooled off.
I feel like it's always humid here.
Yeah. Well,
I did. What's that?
I said, well, good talk.
Yeah. I did some painting today, and I waited until tonight when the humidity came down a little bit before I went out and painted. It's crazy.
Were you, I think I might have saw spray painting?
Yeah.
Oh, you're 2x72?
Yep. I put green on it today.
Nice.
In case anyone was wondering what color it was going to be, it's going to be green.
Surprise, surprise.
So is that the automotive, like, is it a 2K paint or something like that, or?
No, it's not a 2K paint. It'll be a 2K clear.
Oh, okay.
When the clear goes on. But is it like is a just a straight paint? It's not a catalyzed paint.
It's metallic though.
Oh yeah.
So it's like gold. A single stage metallic, and then the clear is the 2K.
Yep.
Oh, cool. Yep. Is it who makes that paint, and what is the code so I can get some?
I can get it to you. I don't know it off the top of my head. The real paint I want is like the original color would have been DuPont Chroma Base. GMO35.
Yeah.
Which they don't make that anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I switched the color a little bit, which it bothers me because it doesn't have as much gold metallic in it. But it is the closest thing I could find where I could buy it repeatable is Mojito Green is what it's called.
So the drill press, which one is that color? That's the original or that's the Mojito?
No, that's this color.
Okay, so everything you have, though, is this color, the Mojito.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. At least it all matches
each other.
It
comes from an old pickup I painted years ago in, like, 2000.
Oh, okay.
I chose this green, which is DuPont Chroma Base. And, yeah.
I painted a car once, and it was a very big mistake.
It's not easy.
I spent, like, months, you know, prepping it, and then I was like, all right, the last thing you got to do. And I decided I was going to do single stage because I was like doing it in my parents' garage. And I think it was winter. And I was like, I'm not going to be good enough to do the clear with all the sags. At least if single stage, you get a sag or a run, you could sand it out a little bit, polish it. And it's like, the last thing you need to do is make sure you wipe off, get it like a chamois, wipe off any dust. You don't want any dust or
oil
debris
or anything in there.
So I get this chamois, I wipe it down, and then we start spraying it. And you can see everywhere that was wiped, like exactly in the wiping pattern. When I then realized that that chamois had been used to wax a car before. And so therefore...
So did you have to scuff the whole thing back down?
Right before painting it, yeah. So,
so what'd you do? Scuff it all back down and repaint it?
Yeah, we spent another, you know, 2 days wet sanding it, and then it still came out like, you know, Orange Peel City, because I'm not a painter.
So, most of them do come out Orange Peel City, and then you have to cut and buff it afterwards.
Yeah, it was rough, but at that point, it just stayed that way because it was too far gone to put the time in to make it better.
What kind of car was it?
It was a 91 S10, or actually, you know, a Jimmy. So, you know, it's like a Blazer, but it's a Jimmy, the GMC version.
Very cool. What are you going to say, Tony?
Was that rattle cans, or was it like, did you actually?
No, it was, real HVLP, like single stage automotive paint.
Oh, okay.
But I guess it was just, no clear though. So it was, you still have to mix it, but it's, you know.
Well, that would be single stage, right. And
but no clear.
Gotcha. I have seen some terrible paint job. I used to work at a gas station in high school, and it was, you would see everything from rattle cans to paint brushes to rollers to, it was terrible. Just those are the vehicles that when you're driving down the highway, you see them and you're like, let's get either way behind them or way ahead of them. I'm not staying near this guy.
I think it's like in New Hampshire, maybe in Massachusetts. I feel like Lucas was talking about this somewhat recently about the people put like the foil tape, because I guess to pass the inspection, if you have any perforation or holes, you have to have like a metal.
It's pretty standard most places now that you can't have anything here. It's you can't have anything that somebody can walk by and like catch themselves on. It's like a public safety thing.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like, you know, fumes getting into the car or something. So that's a different approach that I thought of. Okay.
Well, I mean, there's that too.
Why on the pickup bed?
There's that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, like even for your wheel, like you see trucks with bad wheel wells and stuff like that. That's all so that, you know, somebody can walk by your car, brush up against it, but still not like be drugged to the hospital to get stitches. And
my truck now, the rockers are rotten. And every time you get out, you can scrape your leg on them. It's fantastic.
That would never pass inspection in Canada or New York.
Well, my truck doesn't need inspection now. So,
what do you do there for, like, you don't need to do any inspection, or is it just like a, because it's over a certain age, I assume?
In Jersey?
Yeah.
It's over a certain age and a certain weight for that one. So it's a 2002. Oh. So after a certain year, I forget the year, but the weight of that truck is over the weight, so it doesn't need any inspection.
Really?
That's weird. Then my Jeep is over 25 years old, so I don't need inspection on that either.
Do they just do they give you a sticker, or what are they like? They check the tires or anything? Nothing.
No, I don't check anything.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah,
because I know
makes
this guy.
Feel way less safe in the U.S. then.
Yeah, you should. I took my Jeep out the other day, and I had a brake lock up on me, so I limped it home, just burning the brakes.
What happened? You know,
I hardly drive it. Jeeps are notorious for brakes locking when you don't drive it enough.
But you were out already, and then it locked up. You're saying?
Yeah.
Or it was like you came from a stop, and then it just didn't release.
It must have been like I got to a stoplight or something, and then I noticed. I'm like, man, this thing, and it doesn't have much power anyway. Like, man, this thing just doesn't want to go. I had a real trouble getting up to 50 miles an hour. And I'm like, what is going on? I look at my wife. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, something's wrong with it. And I've had trouble with the catalytic converter, and I thought it was all cleaned out, you know?
Oh.
So I thought maybe that had clogged, and I just couldn't get the engine to rev up. But that wasn't it. I got to where I was going, and I was on my way home, and I got to a stoplight. I see smoke. I get out, pop the hood. I look in it. I see nothing smoking. Absolutely nothing smoking. I'm like, there's no leaks. There's no nothing. Like, it's an old Jeep. You know, there's a little bit of oil and that, like, crusty residue everywhere. I'm like, it's nothing burnt. I don't smell oil. I don't smell antifreeze. It's got water. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on with this thing. So I get back in. We start driving again. We pull over again, and I get out, and I'm like, oh, it's a brake. So I had pulled over in a Lowe's, so I went in, bought a hammer, and just started smashing on the caliper or whatever is under there. I don't even know. I was just, like, leaning under, like, whacking the wheel, and then I limped it home. And at one point during the ride, it broke free, and it was riding great. Yeah, it was riding great. So, and then obviously I hit another light and locked back up, but I was able to break it free again, and I got home. That's fine.
I got Jeep stories. I got Jeep stories for days.
There's always a Jeep story.
I used to take, I had a 99 TJ. I had done a whole bunch of work to it, and I used to bring it to this place, Paragon, I think it was called. It was in like Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and I hit a rock, and I broke the clutch line, and so I had, you know, basically no clutch pedal, and so I had to, you could start it, if you pulled a certain fuse, you could start it in low range with just in first gear, and just the key, you know, with your clutch is already engaged, so you just turn the key in first gear in low range, and it'll go. So you could get it to go, and then you could, like, get it up to speed enough where you could get it into neutral, get it into the high range, two-wheel drive, and then you could just rev match. And that's how I got home from Pennsylvania, just rev match shifting. So anytime I got to, like, a toll booth or whatever, I was like, easy, slow, try not to come to a complete stop, because then it was like you had to do the whole ordeal again. But yeah, so I just made it, like, every time there's, like, a red light, I'm just, like, sticking way back, trying to make sure I don't have to stop, get too close to anybody. And I made it, you know, like 3.5 hours back.
What's Paragon? It's not Roush Creek now, is it?
It's near that. I think what this was either got developed or something. It's in that same area from what I understand. Okay. I haven't been to that, but I it's right around that kind of same area where it's all, like, big woods and warehouses. And yeah, like,
I'd like to go to Roush Creek, but I haven't been out there yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
I hear you. Yeah, I have to go with multiple people or multiple Jeeps, at least two.
Yeah, this was always like some sort of an organized kind of thing where you know, like, you kind of had a group. Like a
Jeep Jamboree, you know, or something.
Yeah, it wasn't, and I've done that too, but it wasn't that, but it was sort of in the same, you know, like, all right, you know, you guys are of the same general ability and modification level. So, all right, you 10. You know, you guys can take the, you know, I guess there would be like one guy who was sort of the leader and who knew the trail. Be like, take them on the, you know, whatever, fire trail or, you know, whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah. Whatever.
And so that's who would be together. So you weren't like 50 people deep.
That's cool.
Yeah. I broke an oil pan. I got stuck, obviously, all kinds of times. Oil pan we fixed with JB Weld. No problem.
Man, if you're not breaking something, did you really go out deep?
Exactly. So does yours have a 4.2 or is it a 4.0? I don't know.
My Jeep? It's got the 2.5.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it really doesn't have some power.
Mm-hmm. And to boot, to make it even worse, Jeremy, it's an automatic.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's got no power.
So that one brake dragon's really doing
one brake dragon. Yeah. Yeah. I might as well be pulling a semi. I wish it was a stick, but whatever.
It probably had 100 horsepower in its heyday. Not now.
I don't know. Let's look that up.
Is it carbureted?
No, I think it's fuel injected because it's a 94.
Okay. Well, you got that going for you.
Yeah. It's got nothing. It's just fun to tool around with no doors and stuff.
Yeah.
117 horsepower.
Oh, you just looked it up?
Yeah.
Just thought about it. 117.
That would have been when it was brand new. I'm sure it's pushing like 60 now. That thing, it's got nothing.
How many horsepower does your motorcycle have, Tony?
I think it's probably around 60 horse. I don't really know.
Hmm. They don't really publicize that, right, on the newer ones?
So it's one of those weird things with the style of bike when it's a cruiser like I have. They publish the torque number.
Okay.
So it's got it runs at 120, 120 foot pounds. So for that size of bike, it, you know, it purrs along pretty good. It's great for the highway. It just, you can lug it. It doesn't have to, you don't have to rev it. Like, you don't get all the vibrate. Like, it just, it works really good in a low rev range. So it makes it smooth on the highway, and that's what they're trying to do. But there is one, there's the same bike I have, but then they have, or sorry, it's a different line, but from Indian. It's got a liquid-cooled V-twin instead of the air-cooled V-twin that I have, and they're showing 100. They show horsepower on that one. It's probably because it's a really good number, and it's showing 100. That's 120 horsepower.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, but they're big, heavy bikes, so. Like my bike weighs 900 pounds.
Yeah, I remember you saying.
Without me. Or any gear.
So what's going on with the helmet situation? What's the latest?
The helmet saga. Actually, all good. I don't know if I talked about it on the last show, but
no.
I got the helmet, tried it, bring the bike back from the oil change or whatever, and hated it. I was like, ah, this sucks. Couldn't hear anything, ears ringing, the whole deal. And then I put I talked about putting the dams in the vents, and it made every bit of difference. It's now usable. It's not an everyday helmet that I'm going to use, but it's definitely something that'll be part of my longer, when I go down to New York, I'll probably use it. So I did note, it's kind of interesting now that I had those vents plugged. I can listen, I have stereo on the bike, and I can turn the volume down on the bike and hear the music better. So that told me that it's doing its job.
And that's just speakers. That's not in the helmet.
Just speakers in it's got a front fairing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the fairing, there's just in front of my hands, there's two speakers, and that's made it so I can listen at, a couple notches lower. So that's nice.
You have to listen to something weird when you pass by a group of kids, you can't be listening to Born to Be Wild. You got to be listening to Britney Spears or something a little bit non-motorcycle-y just to keep them guessing.
So, yeah, I remember one day I was coming home from work and I had the music just blaring, and I'm probably obnoxious when I'm doing it. I don't even realize I'm just listening to music. So, and it was, it was a Disturbed song. Like the band Disturbed.
Yep.
Right.
And it's the one where he starts talking. Abusive fucking whore was part of the lyrics. And I'm driving by this old lady in this little car, windows down, and I'm like, ooh, switch songs right away.
You're in public.
Yeah, I was in public. I was like, ah, shit. Highway is okay for that song, not City Streets.
Do you have a riding playlist that you listen to?
Yes, I have a Spotify list that is just my bike. I just have it labeled as my bike list, and that's what I listen to. 8 hours of music, but I don't know. Me and Spotify aren't great friends right now because of every time I listen, it seems like it's an 8-hour playlist, but it seems to play the same 20 songs. it never seems to really rotate through them. I always hear the same songs. Weird. So I think maybe it's just, I always have it on shuffle. Maybe I should just take it off because then it will play through the list.
Yeah.
Like the shuffle, it tends to come back.
I use the Amazon music for mine.
Oh, okay.
For all my playlists. And because that's the one I pay for. And I have a thing where I'll put on a playlist and listen to it in my headphones or something. And then I'll turn my headphones off, get in the car, and I don't touch anything and it'll start playing, but it'll only play 3 songs on repeat from that playlist.
I've had that.
I go in and choose the playlist again, then it'll start the whole playlist.
Yeah. So I've had something similar happen on Spotify before where it's the same idea. I'll be in the house, have earbuds in or whatever, and it's playing through the full list, and then hop in the car, and then it's one song or two songs that it'll play.
Yeah,
and that's weird. It. But then it only does that if I haven't opened my phone. So if I go to open my phone and then bring up the app, then it opens everything up. It's this weird, I don't know if it's a data saver or something that's
I don't know. I always go back to my playlist and then just to shuffle again, and I can get all the songs.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've been liking the feature they have now with, they call it advanced shuffle or advanced or playlist enhancement or something. I don't know what it is. They put every fourth song is something they think you'll like. They'll add, they add one in. You'll see you'll see a little star icon or kind of like a star anyways. And it'll be a song that they think because of what you're listening to is, and they're, I don't know. They're not batting 1,000. They're not batting 100 either.
It's kind of like Pandora for every other fourth song or something.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's kind of, I'm using it now because that's what we kind of got into. And now the whole family's got it, right?
I find that cars.
Did we lose them?
I think we might have.
Anyway, I use the Amazon one and I don't have that enhanced one, but it does have like a my likes and more. So anything that I liked, it'll play and then it'll add what it thinks I like. And that does pretty good. But they also have a channel on there. It's called My Discovery Mix.
I gotcha.
And I like that for finding new music. And I'll use that from time to time. I go in there and find a song. And then if I see something I like, then I'll use it as a...
Don't mind me. I'm just dropping stuff.
I'll use it as a reel, like whatever music for the reel I'm going to do. So it's nice to find different music than what I normally have. I think we lost Jeremy.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Well, that was fun.
Leave it to Jeremy to bring in the the bad recordings.
Technical difficulties abound.
Oh, man.
Must be all the rain.
It's got to be the rain.
Yes, let's get back to the weather.
Oh, so we lost Jeremy. We got him back. I don't know what I'll edit out, but that's what happened. And now we're back. We can start this all over again.
Spotify, motorcycles, we covered it all.
We did.
So Jeeps, we covered it. All right, what can we talk about now?
Let's talk about some making. What do you got going on in your shop? I just saw you did a bunch of more mallets recently, right?
Yes. So I owed people that had donated to Flatbush Cats some mallets for, I don't even want to say how long because I'm not sure, but, you know, 6 months plus. And I had the mallets that I had made for the timber in last year.
Right.
And my idea was that I was going to make the same ones as that, but make them a little fancier, you know, maybe. And it was going to have the Flatbush Cats logo. And I kept trying to like make them a little nicer. And, you know, because they're made of LVL beams,
right?
You know, it's like plywood sort of. It just, you know, no matter what I did, I'm like, this doesn't look like high end, you know, like it's, if I gave it to somebody for free, you know, they're like, hey, this is great. But right. If I'm saying, you know, make a $50 donation and this is what you get, you know, I'm sure nobody was going to complain about it, but I didn't feel it was up to the level that it seemed like it should be as like a kind of a thank you for, you know, like a decent sized donation.
Right.
So I kept, you know, like I'll try to make the handle out of walnut instead of maple and that'll look better. And then they didn't fit right. And then I'm like, oh, I got holes. Let me try to plug them. Let me try to use some epoxy to fill the holes. And I had trouble with that. So finally I scrapped the whole, like make them better. And instead I made them different and I made them actually out of walnut and ambrosia maple and started a whole new process and a little bit different than I had done them in the past. And they were sort of quicker to make than trying to polish not a turd, but you know, a utilitarian thing.
I'm going to say, I like the LVL ones. I thought they were sort of cool.
And they are, but you know, it just didn't have, I just couldn't get it to like a level of finish that I was proud of as something that was like, supposed to be a step up, you know, it was just like a little step up, not enough to like be like, you waited a year for this or, you know, however long it's been, you know, like as time went on, the level that needed to be up was higher and higher and time was going on and the level wasn't going up really too much. So I finally said, I got to regroup and start over. And so they finally, they're not in everybody's hands yet, but they are on the way if they're not.
They're all in transit.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to give a few out at the go-kart event, which I guess you guys talked about the go-kart event already, so we don't need to rehash that too much.
We can rehash it if you want.
That was cool. I did find I was trying to use, I have that rigid sander that everybody has, the belt slash spindle sander. And I was trying to, so I had made the half glue up, and that was kind of what the reel I posted the other day was, that I sort of glued half of it up and then I kind of flattened it before I attached the other half, because I knew with it clamping, you know, and sitting, maybe it might not be, it might not make full contact with the other half of the mallet head. So I tried initially on that rigid sander and I couldn't get a flat, you know, it's not true enough or whatever to get like a real flatness to it. So I wound up taking some like 3/4 inch Bellamine and gluing sandpaper to that and just hand sanding. And it didn't need much, you know, but I just pencil marked it and sanded it till I got, you know, even contact all around. And that way I got a nice clean glue up. But yeah, I like that sander, but it's not for that kind of purpose. It's not flat enough.
Precision tool, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great tool, but it's not quite, you know, like I think you'd need like a nice big heavy disc sander to be able to get that flatness that I was looking for. Like, I don't know if even a belt grinder would do it, because you don't have, for something that big, you know, you might not have enough contact area.
No, I think a disc sander would be.
Yeah, because you could like put it at a true 90 and really get it flat.
Disc sanders are tough too, though, because with something that big, because the speed of the sandpaper is moving at different rates across the radius.
Yeah.
So you got to be.
That's why you need a big one. So the difference isn't that much.
Yep. Yeah.
But that's true, because if you had, I mean, if this thing is, I think it's like 5.5 inches long. If you had a 6-inch disc sander, you're like on both sides of it, and that's no fun. You really want to be on the downside. No. So even that, yeah, like you'd need a big, like 16-incher or something.
Yeah.
So I got to get one of those.
Go for it.
Or I'm back to hand sanding like a fool.
So you were at the go-kart track.
Yeah, and we talked extensively. No, we did not.
No, we did not. I think I said hi to you at one point, and that was it.
We briefly talked about drones. I didn't get to mess with your mini, your CT70 or anything.
I left the key in it. You could have taken it.
Yeah, well, maybe I did.
Did you?
No.
And you should have.
Anything like that, I always find that I come back and I'm like, oh, you know, I meant to say this to this person. I forgot to talk about that.
Oh,
you know, I had this on my mind. And every time I'm like, I forgot. Or didn't get a chance, or, you know, anything like that. It just.
That's every event.
I always leave. I'm like, oh, you know what? I was right next to this person. I've been meaning to ask them. It's like the perfect opportunity to talk about this, that, the other. And I just either I'm too busy, or I like blank out when it's like, hey, what's going on? Nothing. I don't know.
I think the most I saw
you. How you doing? Good.
Yeah. Hey, man, what's going on? I think the most I saw you the whole time was when I was out on the track with the other guy on the bike.
Yeah.
We did our 12 laps or whatever, and you were next to the track on your drone. I think that was the only, like, that was the real time I spent with you.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. The drone was attracting people. It definitely attracts kids who want to touch it, and I'm like, nope.
No.
It's my wife's drone. You're not allowed to touch it.
You did get some good footage with it, though, so that's good.
Yeah. Soon to be. Well, maybe it'll be on the air. It'll be live by the time this comes out.
Hope so.
I had a good editor.
Who's that, Tony? Tony's pretty good at that.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful work. You actually did. You did a nice job with the same footage and a little more.
Well, I had the ground shots on my phone.
Yeah.
So it was a different ball game then.
Yeah, I'm finding it hard to edit stuff. To like, I see people like Chris Cash will do those videos and they're a minute or two long, but they don't seem rushed, but he covers a lot, you know? And I feel like I'm like jamming in, like just squeezing in under a minute 30 or whatever I'm trying to hit. And I feel like it's like everything is like sped up and rushed and like, you know, it's just like dip, 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 and it's over. And you see these videos that are the same length and they feel like there's a story told and it goes somewhere, but it's not fast forward and they're talking, you know, calmly and nothing is rushed. And I'm like, I got to get that. You know, I don't know if it's my footage or it's my editing or I try to put too much in, you know, to one little thing. And But yeah, I feel like you, with the same thing I had, you kind of like, and that was not really a story. It was just kind of moving footage. But, you know, I feel like you kind of covered it a little better in the respect that it was.
It's pure B-roll.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it's because I've only been doing videos for like a year now since Reels have taken off. Maybe not even a year now. I'm learning how bad at it I am. But I'd say just in the past month, I'm getting a little bit better. All right, this is what I want. This is what I want. But all my projects are so scattered that I just keep putting out garbage reels now because I just want to keep the content going. But the actual story I'm telling is not going to be done for like another 3 weeks. So
yeah,
I'll put garbage on now and then maybe I'll put together a story when I am done with it.
Right.
But I don't know.
And that's kind of what happened with the video footage for these mallets. The thing I posted was just like the glue up or the half of the glue up. And that was rushed. But I was like, all right, as I was working on them, I was recording all this stuff. And I'm like, I didn't want to give it away because I wanted the people to have them in their hands before I'm showing them, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, now people are getting them. I can work on like editing this together. So I put all the footage I had and it was like an hour. And I'm like, because I'm like, okay, we don't need to cover planing. We don't need to cover jointing. We don't need to cover like the ripping, you know, like the thing I had where the, I was like resawing that board and the table saw jammed up like a week or two ago. Right. Yeah. That was from that. And, you know, it was out of context. So nobody knew what it had to do with, you know, but I had used that already. But so I was like, all right, I don't need to show any kind of, you know, milling process.
There's no reason you can't use the same footage for multiple reels.
Right. But I was like, you know, I'm like, I got an hour. I got to get this down to a minute or two. That's out the window. Yeah, so I was like, all right, I need to break this up. And, you know, whatever, it's better to have. It would be nice to have one thing that's, like, all the way through. But, yeah, I see things. Like, people do it, and it looks like a full start-to-finish project in a minute or two. And, you know, you're not like, what's happening? You know, so there's a way to do it that you can.
Right now, I think Chris Powell at Full Steam Designs is crushing it.
Well, yeah.
You know, the way he does his videos, I don't know. I don't do voiceovers, and Austin's pretty good at his, but I don't do voiceovers. I just want to put music to it and walk away from it. You know, you want to watch it, watch it. If you don't, I'm not going for followers, so I don't care.
Yeah. It's tricky. Every now I'm not, not I'm not going for followers. I'm not getting, you know, hundreds of thousands cause I'm not doing anything too crazy and I'm not going to start doing, you know, stuff just to get followers. I mean, it's good to get a few and I'm like just very slowly gaining and half of them are probably bots, but you know,
I'm happy with every follower I get. That's not my point. Yeah. Like if I had 100,000 followers, I'd be stoked, but like I'm not putting stuff out with this sole intention that I need 100,000. So
yeah, I'm trying to do stuff that is, you know, has some sustenance to it. It's not just
right,
like what's popular. I'm trying to actively not use, you know, the trendy songs, and
that's so tough, though. It is tough to not use them because you know it's going to get buried because it's not a trendy song.
I know, but I'm trying to have some integrity, I guess.
But I hate when you're scrolling and everything is woo-wee, woo-wee. You know, that same song over and over again.
It was funny because that song was like in an Apple or like an iPad or, you know, whatever it was, iPhone ad or something like a year and a half ago. And it kind of was like that was its own thing and that was it. And then all of a sudden it just came back as this, you know, 500,000 reels a day use it.
Well, it started off as like a dance. They were doing like a dance with it. Every time I went woo-wee, they would do some dance move.
Yeah.
And now it's just everyone's using it. Sometimes same person uses it like three times and you're like, come on, man, move on.
Oh, it kills me. It's too much. But and you look, there's like the songs that were like 6 months ago were that song. And you, like someone breaks that out once in a while. You're like, whoa, the old.
Right. Whatever the song was. I forget them now.
Yeah. You'll have that flashback when it comes back. But yeah,
I have a ton of songs that I saved. Like as I go through the reels and I hear a song, I'm like, oh, I should use that. and I'll save it, and then it becomes like the hit song, and then it's still on my saved list. And
yeah.
then I'll be going through, and it's that, it's one of those songs like, oh, this was the hot thing like a year ago. I'm not using that now.
Right. I've gotten actually a number of songs from like a Peloton ride, and I'm like, oh, this one's kind of funky, and it's not, you know, like super, you know, I haven't heard it before, so it must not be like too popular, but it's, you know, maybe it's enough that it, you know, it's got the right, because it's made for like working out or whatever, you know, it's got like a little bit of energy to it or something like that. And it, so I've done a couple of those, and you know, they work.
I had one reel I was going to do, and I was going to put, I was like, oh, I'm going to put Ice Ice Baby to this, cause I haven't heard that much on Instagram. I thought that would be a fun grab. So I went in, I found the song, and I saved it. And then I closed Instagram, forgot about it for a couple of hours, and I go back into my Instagram app, and everyone was using Ice Ice Baby then. And I don't know if it's, was it just in the zeitgeist, like, all right, maybe it's that time of year.
It,
like it's not that popular of a song anymore, right?
Right.
Or yeah. is it that I saved it, that the algorithm started feeding me that oh. song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that, because I have had conversations with people and then open up my phone like 4 or 5 minutes later and be like, yeah, the damn thing's listening again, because it just starts feeding you that stuff. Like you, I've noticed maybe not so much the content, but the ads
get oh, yeah.
pretty, like getting back to the helmet, when I purchased yeah. the helmet. So I purchased the helmet. I have made the purchase, and everything from now until the end of time is going to be like I'm getting ATV stuff, and I'm getting like all these like these weird ads from places I don't know that are selling a helmet that looks really close to what I bought, but you know, it's like a weird copy of it. And it's just like, I just,
well, that was like, I got that ad I sent you for the helmet earmuffs or helmet wind noise reducers.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm like, it's listening to what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, come on, I'm not even in the market for this. I'm like, yeah. It's like belated, you know, third removed, whatever. It is great. You like, you mention anything and you're like instantly bombarded with those ads, and then like what their interpretation is of what else you might be interested in that has to go with those things.
Yeah, definitely. I've gotten a lot of like ATV stuff lately, which I don't mind, but it's also from companies that I don't trust. So
but I like looked up a truck I was interested in. It's like, oh, you want a truck? Well, then you obviously want yes. you want the decked system for your pickup bed. You want a Toyota, a Chevy, a Dodge, a GMC, a Toyota.
I cannot get away from that decked advertisement.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I want less for my truck than a decked system. Like, I kind of want to tell them, spend your money elsewhere. Like, I'm never going to buy it.
I must get 20 ads a day for bulletproof hitches. It's like some kind of drop hitch for trucks, you know, towing trailers.
Mm.
And I get like the story ads, I get the full ads, I get, you know, real ads. I'm like, the amount these guys must be spending on ads, I'm like, just give me one. You would have cost you less. Like, I'm serious. It's 20 a day. Like, it's just nonstop. And I'm like, yes, I just can't believe it. How much yeah. I get the ads for this one thing.
I was surprised how much it changed. So when I went down to the blacksmithing course in Maine,
yeah,
the ads on YouTube changed. So what I get here versus what I got down there changed quite a bit. There was I'd never seen a gun ad on YouTube, and then I was down there, and it wasn't a gun. It wasn't a gun. It was a gun holster.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see those ads here. You see them. You only see them down there.
I thought you were going
to say,
"Welcome
to America, get like... Tony."
Yeah. Well, Maine.
If you don't like it? Leave.
Land of the free.
I only visit every now and again. But that's the one thing. Like, everybody talks about, like, up here, people talk about how, oh, you know, you go down too far down in the States, and it's, you know, the gun laws and this and that. And I was like, you don't understand. Like, Maine is the bordering state for us. Maine is a no helmet, open carry state.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you don't have to go too far.
We don't have to go that far, boys.
Yeah.
You crossed the border and you went from snowshoe advertisements to lobster advertisements.
Hey, we got lobsters here.
Not Maine lobsters.
Not Maine. Oh, we got Scotia lobsters or something.
We got Bay of Fundy lobsters.
It's the same lobsters.
Basically.
The problem I have with these advertisements, getting back to the advertisement thing, is I don't know who's running these algorithms. They're pretty good, right? They can figure out what we were talking about or what we're looking at on our phones or something. And you know they're linked to your credit card, knows what you're buying, and probably putting it out there for whatever feelers and all that stuff, right? They figure all that out, right? What I don't understand is, if once I buy the helmet, why don't you start like funneling in the helmet accessories or related things? Like, I feel like it's a bad algorithm because it's like, oh, Tony bought a helmet. Let's feed him all the helmet advertisements. Cause obviously if he has one, two is better, you know?
Yeah. When we went to on our trip a month ago, now at this point, we were looking up this hotel, we booked it. And to this day, I get ads for this hotel like every day. And I just, you know, you can click like not interested or something like that. I'm like, I just want to see how long they're going to keep advertising to me now that I already stayed there. You know, like, you got me. I went. I'm good.
You already have my money. Find somebody else. Like,
stop spending it all. Telling me about it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're bad that way.
We can thank them. They're giving us something. At least it's in our interest now, because the three of us could be getting tampon ads, and that wouldn't be good.
Wait, you don't? How many ads do you get ads for guys like pulling their shirt? Look how I look now. I get those 10 million kinds of look, see, now I look fat. Now I look skinny.
Every time I get it, I'm like, these guys know I'm overweight.
Makes my arms
look at me now.
Yeah.
The dad slapping his belly, then he puts on a different t-shirt, and all of a sudden he's like, cut. Like,
He looks skinnier. Oh, wait, he just sucked in his gut.
It's the t-shirt, and you need 10 of them, 10 pack of them.
Before this goes too far off the rails, let's thank our patrons, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of advertisements, it's not the same. It's not the same.
I got the clipboard out.
That's what's they're all here. Okay. So we'll not start all here. Of them. Well, yeah. A good
those
portion.
That wish to be read out.
We have Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Woodfinery. Our top tier, we have Eastpoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence Maritime Nicesupply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Vincent Ferrari of Digitally Creative, Brian Housewort of Workfort Podcast, Artigino Sorio, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnome Hammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Due Construction, and Tony of Kodamo Designs. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all. You guys are fantastic.
Yes, we really do appreciate the support.
We appreciate all of you.
Those are good patrons. The best.
The best patrons. We have the best patrons. I'm going to go on a limb and put that out there. Speaking of advertisements, did you see what I bought this week? The 2x72s?
Yeah, I was just about to ask you. What's it looks so different than what I am familiar with, at least from what
Which
I saw.
Which one?
It's swiveling around.
I bought two new to me ones.
Yeah.
In a tool pick I was on. And one is just like, it looks like the standard chassis, but it's like aluminum, like the other one I bought, which is all right, whatever. That one didn't come with a motor, but I mean, it's your typical 2x72. This other one I got is a Hardcore Products 2x72. And it's cool because it's got that, like, that one weird arm thing that moves around like this. It's different. I don't know if it's better than any others, but I do like it.
How does it tension the belt? That was my only question when I saw that.
It's got a.
I don't see it. It's not obvious to me.
it's all inside that blue part. Like all the mechanism is inside that blue part. So I'm sure if something breaks, you're screwed on this thing.
And what does your tracking?
There's a knob on it. Yeah.
Okay.
The back wheel, like when you're looking at it, the back wheel moves away to get the tension on the belt.
Yep.
As well as it runs the tracking, so it has a little tilt back and forth.
Okay.
That works kind of like my house made tracking arm, right? So there's just like a dial on it, and it'll rock it one way or the other. One thing I don't like is to get it tensioned. There's only like a little bit of movement in it, so you kind of have to stretch the belt anyway.
Okay.
To get it on, and then there's a little more tension to it.
So there's not like a quick dump of the tension to like change belts.
I mean, it dumps the tension and you can pull it off, but it's tight. Like you could actually run it when the tension's off almost.
Okay.
Almost. I got you.
Like it's almost right there. But I mean, it seems pretty well made.
It's just a straight oval path. Like it's, when I think of another one, it's almost like a triangular with like, you know, two wheels and then like the contact wheel or the platen or whatever.
So well, they sell it as just a two-wheel system, or you can buy like a three-wheel with the platen on it, and then they have different wheel things on it. The one that what I have has got the platen on it already.
Okay.
So it is a three-wheel. It's just because the way it look, it doesn't look like it has a third wheel, but there's a third wheel on it.
What was the name of that one again?
Or I got to watch it again.
Hardcore Products.
This is not going to come. This is not going to end well on my search.
They have no social media, which I found to be weird. But they were.
But it's a current product.
Oh like, yeah.
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 Is that? I want to call it that arm that you said like that contain. Is that like a cast piece?
It's like a machined aluminum piece.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So
it's very different than the other ones.
That is a neat machine. Says here there's a 6x60.
Another model they have, you mean a 6x60 belt?
Yeah, they have like they make a traditional one like the ones like my Revolution.
Right.
Like the house made one. They make one like that. Yeah, that's it. But it comes like that and it's only two wheels, and then you have to buy the platen, the table, all that stuff extra. It's crazy.
So is it a shorter belt when you run in just two?
Or it's no, still 72? It's a bigger wheel up front.
Oh, okay. I see.
I don't have any of that wheel. The guy who had it before me threw all the stuff away.
Who needs this?
The other one I bought came with a small wheel attachment, which I was buying for the small wheel attachment because I was going to use that. Like the attachment part that's on his, make a new tool arm for my housemade one so I could have a small wheel attachment on it. That's why I bought the other one. And we're like digging it out of the storage unit and everything. I'm like, all right, so where are all the wheels to this? He's like, I don't have that. Okay, we already made a deal. Like, so I can buy the small wheels on replacement, but it's just frustrating.
So now, do you have just three that work separately, or are you still going to? I guess you don't have the pieces of steel. You're just going to have three different ones.
Three different what?
Three different belt grinders entirely. You have three, right? It sounds like.
Right now I have three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to sell one, I think.
Yeah.
I may be convinced enough to sell the hardcore one too, like the big blue one. If I can get a decent amount for it, I'd sell it, but we'll see what happens.
Wow. There's a lot of stuff. I was just looking at their website. There's quite a bit.
Yeah. They have a lot of stuff. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Do I need three? No. Do I need two? No. Do I need one? Probably not. I made it this long without it. But once I got one, it may not be the most used tool in my shop, but I use it every time I'm in the shop.
All right. So now you can have one with one grid and another one with the Scotch-Brite and another one with the...
Well, changing the belts is pretty easy on all of them, right? Especially the house-made one. It's got the big handle on it. You just pull it down. It swaps out real easy. The hardcore one is a little bit more tricky, and the knockoff one works just like the house one. So that would be easy. What I would do is do a small wheel on one, a platen or a big wheel on the other, and then like one for each different type of. That way I don't have to go swapping arms out, you know? I could just walk up and I have I could just swap out the belt to any of them. And then now when you're, I have a platen, small wheel and a big wheel.
When you're using a platen, I'm trying to think the ones they had two at Maker Camp near the Avid setup, you know, when you, if you did the, right. And you could, you know, flatten out your little lantern or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And I feel like one had sort of like a tool rest, let's call it. And the other one didn't. And it felt weird with nothing to like lean against, you know, besides you're just kind of holding it in midair. And that seemed like strange to me. I don't know if like what's normal.
It depends what you're working on.
Yeah.
Like on my house made one, I'll put in the lower arm, like the, is it a tool rest? Is that what you call it? A
table. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not big, but work rest. Okay.
Yeah. I'll put in the work rest for certain things, and then other times I don't want the work rest there.
So you just totally freehanding.
It depends on the size of the project too, and if you're, for me, it depends on the size of the project or the precision I'm trying to get after. Like if I'm just knocking down like the slag off a cut of some kind, or I want it open so I can just move at whatever angle. I don't have the work rest in the way, but mine. The one I have is a Velocity, and my work rest has they've got those little quick turn adjusters on it, and I can take the work rest and pivot it out and away. I don't have to take the arm out, so that's kind of nice that way. And that work rest can be changed, like it's on a 3/4 inch round bar, and you can slide that out. And if you had the appropriate one to put in, you could put another one in the same spot. So it'd be a pretty quick change that way.
That's how my Revolution works. There's like an arm you can put in and just pull it out. And it's just like a quick twist of a...
Yeah.
But you're saying it's mounted on a round, so you could swivel it instead of... It's not like a square where it's locked in at 90.
Yeah, so it has... There's like 3 joints, I think. It's been so long since I used the thing. But there's still a rectangular arm that goes into the body, and then there's at least two swivels that come off of it, and they're like a squeeze clamp that you just, they're not like it's not like a set screw going into the side of that round.
Right.
There's a squeeze clamp that grips the round, and you can swivel it out of the way, or you can raise and lower it on the platen to what you need. So depending on your own height for where you want that work to be at, then you can adjust that way as well. That one gives me quite a bit of adjustment, so it's nice.
Yeah, I felt weird with the one that had no rest, where I was like, I'm just holding this thing in midair. I feel like it's going to get thrown out of my hands because I don't have something to like brace against. And that's not that big of an item, but it's got a lot of.
Well, that's
2x72 can move something too. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you got that thing cranked and you go up to it and you're not used to it without a work rest, I see exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah. I was like, well, this is kind of like.
Yeah, you're right. And the same can be said with the work rest, because then you can get it could pinch if the work rest isn't tight enough to the belt. So with, you know, a couple hundred people using a belt grinder could be interesting.
Unsupervised.
And I'm like, oh, this is VFD. Let me just turn this knob. I guess this goes fast. Like, is this a good speed?
Yeah.
I feel like I asked somebody and they were like, I don't know. I'm like, all right.
They were just. It's, I mean, they're used right. They're perfectly safe. That's for sure. They're like anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
anywho,
table saws still scare the shit out of me. But anyways,
routers for me. I don't know why.
Do you have a router table?
Me, yeah.
You do, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the handheld scare you more than a table?
Probably, but I don't like either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like them, but I have a healthy respect for what can go wrong.
So I have a palm router, and I don't want to say the brand because I'm about to trash it. But it's got like the opening, like where the... Like where the bit is on, like it comes down on the collar or whatever to the bottom or the top, however you're looking at it, the part where the bit would poke through.
Yeah.
And it has an overly large opening on it. Like it's like half open. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like whenever I grab it And I haven't done it when it's running, but whenever I grab it, my pinky goes to go in that area. And I'm like, if this thing's ever running, my pinky goes in there, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, so this part here.
Right.
You feel like you could go right in there, right?
Yeah. But like yours is a little bigger than mine, right? So the router I have, when I go to grab it,
I just threw
it's like perfect for me to grab and put my pinky right there.
Yeah, like if I was, you know, see as I'm like retracting it, it opens up more and more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now it's like, let me just grab. Yeah, I feel like,
you know what I
mean?
That
should be closed with a clear thing, kind of.
Something.
Yeah.
Anything. I don't know. I feel like it's, and I know why it's open, so you get the wrench in there without having to adjust the height. And I understand it all. I get.
Yeah, it's funny because this is the one I have six of, but it is very easy to change. You just do that. And it's like,
yeah. Boom,
you press the button, turn one wrench.
You have six of that one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of noise.
So I did a reel about it with the drawer opening. I don't know why it tanked, but I thought it was really funny.
I didn't see it. I might have to go back later and look.
No, it's, yeah. So I had, they have like an incredible deal on them, like around, you know, Black Friday, where you get two batteries and a charger. For the price of the router, which is on sale, like the batteries for the router would be more than all either one of those things, you know. So, So I had bought two, maybe 2 years ago, and then I bought like two more last year, and then this fall, or you know, whenever Black Friday starts in the late summer, came around, and I was like, I told my wife, I'm like, I bought one more of those routers. She's like, are you crazy? I was like, no. I just couldn't resist the batteries and the deal. I'm like, and then Christmas came around and there was another one under the tree. So she got me the number six. I was like, all right. Nice. I thought
so. Tiny routers like that, like the battery ones, which I don't have any battery ones.
Yeah.
But I like the little Palmer. Like I have, I think five, maybe more than five of the bigger ones, like the big routers.
2.25 horsepower usually.
Yeah. And I want more trim routers, and then I'll get rid of some of the big ones because I just want to put in a roundover, a chamfer, a flush trim. Like, I just want to be able to grab those and go.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Without having to change the tool. But with the big ones, it's kind of a pain to store them. Like, I just want a bunch of mini trim routers.
Well, so that's the thing. I'm with you on the six. I have a whole drawer of them.
I think you buy two more this year.
I probably won't be able to resist it. And I have so many batteries now because each one of them comes with two batteries and a charger.
Nice.
And they're the 5 amp hour. They're good batteries.
But with that, I say we head on over to the after show. You got any final words, Jeremy?
Just have at least six routers, please.
At least. At
least, you know, act like you care. That's
even all. Tony, the metal worker, has got six.
Do you have one of those
hammers,
metal?
Maybe. No, I do not have any routers, nor do I plan on having any.
Not even that one that the metal chamfer router that Chris Sepp was pushing?
Oh, that thing that's going to throw needles everywhere?
Yeah.
No, I've used things like that before. Not for me. Not for what I do. And I can break corners with a hammer much quicker.
All right, let me put you on the spot before we go. Whatever happened with that barbecue place or whatever that was asking you to make tongs and
nothing's stuff. Happened. I haven't made anything for them. That's part of the problem with being a hobbyist. Yeah. If I don't want to do it, I don't do it.
That sounded like great motivation. I thought you were going to like kind of dive into that and like actually brush the cobwebs away in the shop, but
it needs to happen. It's definitely still an option. I just haven't talked to him in a while, but it's definitely an option.
Maybe when you get going on your MakerSwap item.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you were talking about building up the jigs and stuff so you could kind of like reproduce things with a little more consistency and stuff. And that seemed like I thought maybe that's where you were kind of going with that.
Yeah.
But then you didn't really mention it. So I thought.
I haven't made the time. So it's like anything in life. If you don't make the time, it doesn't get done. So I need to make the time and get it done. So at some point I will.
All right, you're out of the hot seat.
All right, let's head over to the after show. If you're coming to Maker Camp, don't forget Maker Swap's on. Use the hashtag Maker Camp Maker Swap. show off what you're making, get the buzz going on that. We can't wait to see you there. If you didn't make something, come by our booth anyway. If you want to find Jeremy, you can find him at Jeremy Spies on Instagram. You on TikTok?
No.
No, just Instagram, right? YouTube?
Just Instagram. I was thinking about doing some shorts. I haven't done it yet, though. Or maybe some longs, too, but we'll see.
Get on.
I heard Chris Powell talking about making $9,000 in a couple days on TikTok, so maybe I should join that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the after show. if you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Instagram, Working Hands 3 on TikTok, or workinghandspodcast@gmail.com. With that, we're going to go over to the after show. And if you're coming to the Timber Inn, come say hi. Later.
Thank you, boys.
Later.